Here's a little opportunity for me to address any children that might be watching. A little object lesson. The kids out there, imagine that today we were having a baptism. And I had to fill up the baptismal font with water. Right now it's dry, it's empty. Which would be the preferred way to fill up the baptismal font? Should I get out a spray bottle and just mist it in there? That'd take quite a while, wouldn't it? What if I pulled out a little bit of, a little spoon here and just started trickling water in? Once again, it'd be kind of a delay in that baptism, wouldn't there? We have to wait until I've got enough in there. The better way would be, of course, if I had a lot of water, which I happen to. The better way would be to take a pitcher full of water and be able just to take and pour it out generously. In the first lesson today, we heard Joel talk about God's Spirit being poured out. When he uses the word poured out, he's not talking about misting the Holy Spirit on people. He's not talking about just drizzling a little bit. He's saying that God has poured out his Holy Spirit in abundance on his people. There's plenty there. And that's a really important concept that we want to talk about all during our sermon this day. God bestows on us this wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit, filling our hearts with faith and confidence and trust in our Lord Jesus. I'm going to apologize because I'm probably going to be looking down a lot during this sermon. And for those of you who have a copy of this sermon that you downloaded, well, I rewrote the sermon last night. So I'll have to put an updated copy out for you. I made a lot of changes, and, well, here's why. Even though we're talking about the Holy Spirit this day, I know what's on the minds of so many people. This week's events in our beloved state of Minnesota and its largest city, Minneapolis, you know, if I don't address the police actions and the rioting that took place, I know there'd be people who'd be wondering, you know, why aren't we talking about that? On the other hand, it is Pentecost Sunday, and I need to talk about Pentecost because, believe it or not, the festival of Pentecost gives us a lot of insight and a lot of direction with regard to the events that are going on. I hope to convince you of that as we go through this sermon. The first question that I think needs to be asked about the murder of George Floyd and of the subsequent riots might be the question, should we be surprised that these things are taking place? I would argue no. I don't think we should be surprised. And I say that not simply because of the extreme restrictions and the stresses that have come because of COVID and that causing people to break out into extreme behavior. It really goes way beyond that. You see, we live in a society that is steeped in wickedness. We are in continual rebellion against God. All of us, not just some bad people out there, all of us are. I think we should take to heart the message of Psalm 14. They are corrupt. They do disgusting things. There is no one who does good. Quite honestly, I think we should all be surprised that events like what's taking place this week shouldn't have happened a long, long time ago. Here's question number two. Why is this senseless violence and destruction happening? You're going to hear from a lot of people different ideas. They'll say this is happening, or they'll blame the whole thing on things like racism and police violence. And Things like poverty and poor education and all sorts of other social ills. I won't deny that those play contributing roles. But those things are all secondary to the real problem. The real problem is that the influence of God the Holy Spirit has been lacking. Government programs and all sorts of government spending, they're powerless to do the important thing that needs to happen, and that is the changing of people's inner attitudes. You can attend the very best schools and pay incredible amounts of money, but those places are not necessarily going to be able to address people's attitudes. Only God has the ability to change wicked human hearts. God says so in Philippians 2. He says, in fact, it is God who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of His good pleasure. It's only God that's able to bring in us good, productive thoughts and attitudes that are healthy. Now more than ever, not only in Minneapolis but everywhere, we need more of the Holy Spirit's influence. Yes, every one of us need to share that influence. That's why it is such good news. Today is Pentecost. And the message of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit's influence is in abundant supply. Think of the abundant pouring out of the water. That really is the wonderful message that the prophet Joel has us for us this morning. And so we praise God for giving us the spirit of prophecy. Pentecost, today's festival, it goes by a different name among Jewish people. It's called Shavuot. It's one of the three great pilgrimage festivals. Pesach, the Passover, celebrated 50 days ago. Shavuot, or Pentecost, is celebrated now in later spring. And then around the fall, there's Sukkot, the Festival of Tabernacles. Shavuot, in the Old Testament, it's celebrated in order to commemorate the day that the law, through Moses, was given by God, Mount Sinai. Oddly, though, Shavuot celebrated something far distant from that, or seemed to be. It celebrated the wheat harvest. In the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, people gave thanks for the all-important supply of rain and weather that were conducive for the harvest. People saw that God provided exactly what was needed, and they praised Him for it. In the New Testament, the celebration of Pentecost also celebrates a harvest, but it's a different harvest. It's not a harvest of wheat, but a harvest of souls. The harvest of souls happens because God has generously poured out His Holy Spirit, and He's poured it out everywhere. As life-giving rain comes down from heaven and waters our gardens and our fields and enables them to grow, so God makes the growing season of faith and salvation possible through the outpouring of His Holy Spirit on our hearts. Now Joel is where this prophecy comes from. We're really not sure when Joel lived. In my opinion, I think he lived somewhere in the 800s, but it's just a guess. He predicted the day of Pentecost. And the reason why Joel wrote his message is because he wanted to comfort the people of Israel, because it was a time of national tragedy. They were all worked up. They were all in distress. Sound familiar? They're all in distress, though, back in those days, because there was a locust plague, and it devoured the harvest. The reason why Joel wrote his prophecy was because he wanted the people of Israel to have a clear understanding of why this is happening and what it means. They might have felt defeated. They might have felt the need for direction, and Joel was going to give it to them. He said this locust plague happened because of their sin-filled idolatry. They're chasing after false gods. And this locust plague is a judgment from God, calling on them to repent and return to the Lord. But he doesn't leave them there. He continues on with a wonderful word of encouragement. God promised that he would spare the land. He promised that he would send the promised Savior. And we heard those words earlier. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God's Spirit is mentioned all over the place in the Old Testament. Already at creation, he's mentioned when Moses and the elders receive a special gift of the Spirit. David spoke about the Holy Spirit in our psalm for the day. There are all sorts of examples of how the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament. So what's so special about what Joel is promising? You saw it in the object lesson. The Holy Spirit isn't just misted or isn't just, you know, sprinkled a little bit. He's poured out in abundance all over the place. This abundant outpouring resembles a soaking rain. And the Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. He's poured out on us graciously, even though we are a dying breed. Even though we are spiritually lifeless, helpless and worthless, yet we still receive this gift of grace. The Holy Spirit poured out on us abundantly on people who don't deserve it, not in the least. And Joel says that this outpouring is going to happen in a spectacular way. All God's people would prophesy. They would dream dreams. They would see visions. Regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of age, education, or anything. And we do see this all the time. Think about a young child. A little 5 or 6 year old who's gone to Sunday school for a few years. Think about the things that they can tell you. The doctrines that they believe. They know that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem. They know that Jesus grew up in Nazareth. They know that he fed thousands. They know that he healed diseases. They know, these young Christians, and they believe that Jesus died on a cross under Pontius Pilate. He died in order to pay for their sins. They know that Jesus rose again. That he is still alive because he ascended into heaven. And he has all power. A little child understands those profound teachings of the Bible. Jesus said, prophets and kings wanted to know what you and I and our children know. That's how fully the Holy Spirit has been poured out and continues to be poured out. Please know that your knowledge of God's Word in the Bible is a profound gift. A gift that the Holy Spirit gives to you, and it's a gift to be treasured. We don't merely see something and learn about something. It goes beyond that. We speak about something in the same way Old Testament prophets would. When you hear about us prophesying, you know, perhaps you think of things like, you know, we're able to foresee the future and predict it. That's not so much the role of the prophet that Joel has in mind. He rather wants us to see ourselves as broadcasters, people who extend that message on to other people. It was what Old Testament prophets did, and that's what every believer gets to do in the New Testament. Think about the men and the women and even the children that teach about God every day. Think about your average Sunday school teacher presenting clear truths to children. Truths that Moses and Isaiah presented in veiled language. We're able to do it clearly. Think about the average Christmas service where a group of our young children are able to proclaim doctrines that King Solomon didn't even know about. Think about the witness for Christ that happens just you and your neighbor. You're able to lay out God's plan clearer than ancient rabbis were able to. All of this we recognize as a gracious outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. He hasn't been misted on us. He hasn't been just trickled on us. He has been poured out on us in abundance. So many people are upset about the police actions and the riots that are happening in Minneapolis and all around our country. And I think what makes it most difficult is we feel powerless to be able to do anything about it. We feel like we don't have any tools to be able to make a difference. And I encourage you, don't think that way. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on us in abundance. We have been given the divine viewpoint on what's happening. And it's a clear understanding. We understand what's right and what's wrong in God's eyes. We understand what God's talking about when He speaks of repentance and when He promises us forgiveness. We have been taught truths from God's Word that clearly lay out before us the principles by which we're to live before God. I'm thinking of the fifth commandment, the principle that says that all life is valued by God. We love and respect people, everyone. That's something that we believe and we promote. I think of a fourth commandment principle regarding authority. God tells us that authority is a gift from God. That authority is something that God wishes for us to respect and honor. People say, but what if authority is corrupted? What if there's racism and all sorts of other problems? Well, the Lord says, that's okay. That's okay. I know how to take care of that. And in my time and in my will and in my way, I will take care of it. And as we've seen throughout history and laid out in the pages of the Bible, God has brought just comeuppance to leaders who are not faithful in their calling. That's why the Lord says, you can trust them, because I put them there. I think about the seventh commandment teachings. God calls upon us to respect other people's property because our property are gifts from God. The things that we have are not some form of shameless privilege, but rather they are gracious blessings from a God who wishes to bless us. But people will say, but some people have so much more and other people have so little. Yeah, that's true. And it doesn't seem fair. But we want to be clear on God's view of possessions. Just because we have a lot of money and possessions doesn't mean that our lives are easier or even better. In fact, the Bible often says that people who have a lot of wealth are people who are encumbered with a lot of woe and a lot of difficulty. Don't envy what other people have. Because what we have is all a gift from a God who knows to give us exactly what we need. We can be thankful for what He's given to us rather than be envious of what other people have or want to destroy what other people have. I know these are not easy for some hearts to believe. And people will ask, how can I trust these words? How can I trust that God is really going to make these things work out for me? I'll explain. This is really cool. You'll like this. The Old Testament observance of Pentecost, Shavuot, it includes a wave offering of wheat. And so the priests would grab a hold of a big stalk of wheat and they would wave it to the Lord. Like this. And then like this. What do you see? Don't you see a cross? Already in the Old Testament, what was central to everything that God was pointing them to was the cross of Christ. How do I know that I can trust this God and the things that He teaches in His Word? Because He loves me enough to go to a cross, to die for me, so that I could be washed clean of this horrible iniquity that cascades from my heart and life. I've been redeemed from it. And only a God of love who loves me to that extent would do such a thing. I can trust God. I really can. Today there might be a drought of the knowledge of the Bible and of God's Word. There might seem to be too few spokespeople for God. But the Holy Spirit has been poured out in abundance. You are one of His many, many, many mouthpieces. You are one of His prophets. So speak about your God. And in doing that, praise God who gives us the spirit of prophecy. Amen.